Okay, let's get back to our business here, which is informing you to the best of our ability. Very happy to have Erica back with us tonight, and we're talking our second hour about what's being done to us. There's a story up in headlines you'll see shortly, it should be any minute now, that is very interesting. It's titled, U.S. Government Sent mRNA Coronavirus Vaccine Candidates to the university researchers at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Now, this is from the Hal Turner radio show site. All right, now, anything on that site has to be taken under advisement with a grain of salt and explored carefully. But this appears to have all the earmarks of something that is real and probably viable in terms of being a news story. U.S. government sent mRNA coronavirus vaccine candidates to university researchers weeks before the coronavirus outbreak in China. So how did they know to be working on this list of vaccine candidates before the virus even broke free? The bottom line is, when you look at this document, this alleged document, and I can't prove it's real, but it looks it, it's a material transfer agreement, and it says this material transfer agreement, an MTA, has been adopted for use by the National Institutes of Health, the FDA, and the CDC, right? Referred to herein as the Public Health Service. In all transfers of research material, blah, 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 whether the Public Health Service is identified below as its provider or recipient or not. Okay, the providers of these vaccine candidates are the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, NIAID, spells Fauci, right? And also the National Institutes of Health. So Fauci is up to his eyeballs before anything even happened. What's he doing transferring coronavirus vaccine candidates to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill? All right, well, we think that that's where it began, and it went from there with a possible stop in Canada, and maybe the infamous Dr. Charles Lieber might have been involved, and then on to the Wuhan BSL-4 virus lab. And then from there, you know the story. All right, number one in this section of this document, this material transfer agreement, number one says provider, that's the Public Health Service, that includes NIAID, FDA, CDC, provider agrees to transfer to recipient's investigator the following research material. mRNA coronavirus vaccine candidates developed and jointly owned by NIAID and Moderna. Did you get that, everybody? The mRNA coronavirus vaccine candidates developed and jointly owned by NIAID, Fauci, and Moderna. Now, the NIAID is a government agency. What are they doing in the business of owning anything? They're supposed to be the public servants. It's like the USDA owns some patents on genetic modified, I think, corn or something. They've got something on some kind of agricultural product that they have patents on. So the government is involved with actually competing with private enterprise in terms of patenting and owning things, which is completely illegal and wrong. So, okay, we look at that, we think about that. Now, let me go and a comment, Erica. Erica Kahn is back with us tonight. Erica, any comment on that one?
That's just further evidence of, if anyone watched the documentary Plandemic last year, all these patents that have been filed pertaining right. to coronaviruses since 2002.
Right.
And so Dr. David Martin did a fabulous job at digging up the players in all of the whole orchestration of this pandemic and who was going to profit from it. I mean, there's a paper trail.
There is.
He's got it.
Exactly right.
And it's worthwhile to look at that documentary again. It was very well done. But the evidence is there that this whole thing was planned.
I mean, let me read this again. The mRNA coronavirus vaccine candidates developed and jointly owned by NIAID, Fauci, and Moderna. So they're in it together right there. If this is a real document, and it does appear to be the first portion of a material transfer agreement, public health service. So, all right, it's pointing at Chapel Hill, University of North Carolina, which is where we've always thought this started out.
Yep.
Okay, so we're going to go now back to what we were talking about, and that has to do with our brains. The idea that spike proteins like to go to the brain maybe has something to do with a nanolipid that's covering it, that fatty issue? Is that part of it? Because the brain is largely fat.
Right. So the lipid nanoparticles can easily get into the brain because of their size and the fact that they are lipophilic, meaning they're attracted to other fats. So if they get into the brain, now we're not talking about spike protein yet. This is just the genetic material to produce the spike protein.
Right.
I imagine that would be devastating, that if these lipid nanoparticles bump up against a neuron, manage to transfect that genetic material, now the neuron is producing spike protein. We're seeing an awful lot of people with neurological issues following these vaccines.
Massive headaches to begin with, and then weeks later, all kinds of things.
Yeah, the central nervous system is being just
beaten up,
decimated in some people.
Right. Right. All right. Here's a very interesting little video. This is Dr. Richard Fleming, obviously a brilliant man in his field. And this is just about a little bit over 4 minutes long. So let's take a listen to this.
Well, first, let me thank you for the invitation to be here. Her story is not at all unexpected. People that have been looking at the spike protein, which everybody has become familiar with this virus, understand that the protein itself, whether it's part of the virus or if it's just being made from the vaccines, can cross the blood-brain barrier and cause damage to the brain. So there have been a couple very nice animal studies that have been done. And when those studies have been done, they found both what's called spongiform encephalopathy, which means that the brain looks like a sponge, which is what you see in mad cow disease. And they have found inflammation in Lewy bodies, which is the cause of Alzheimer's disease. And these animal models have shown this in a very short period of time. In the mice studies that were done, it took 2 weeks. And in the rhesus monkey models, it took about 5 to 6 weeks for that type of damage or injury to the brain to happen. So a major difference between just getting this from person-to-person transfer is the amount of spike protein that people get exposed to. It's relatively small when you get a person-to-person transfer compared to what's going on with the vaccines, because the vaccines themselves contain billions of either mRNA molecules or DNA molecules that cause your cells to make these spike proteins. And the belief that those spike proteins or the vaccines stay right where they're injected is incorrect, because Moderna itself published a study a few years back in 2016, 2017, using the same technology, this lipid nanoparticle, this cholesterol lipid layering of its influenza vaccine. And when the animal studies were done, they found that the vaccine did not stay where it was injected. It had spread throughout the body, including the brain, and these lipid nanoparticles are exquisitely designed to cross the blood-brain barrier as well.
Okay, I want to stop it halfway through right there. Erica, comment on that.
Yeah, he's 100% correct. And I think it's well stated.
Billions of mRNA single-strand viruses covered by these nanolipid particles and PEG on top of that. The nanolipid particles are toxic in and of themselves. And then when I guess they are sloughed off when they get in the body or they depart, and the virus is inserted into a cell, and it begins to produce spike proteins. So you got spike proteins being made by the, obviously by the billions. The injection, he said, billions of mRNA strands. This is a very, very powerful inoculation. This is this is overwhelming for the body. It's just, it's crazy.
Completely unnatural. It's brutal in the way it's being injected directly into, well, the bloodstream. I mean, let's face it.
That's what it is. That's right.
Well, in essence, it's coming into the body in a highly unnatural way. It's in a natural form. You know, these lipid nanoparticles that are disguised to look like natural biomolecules, but they're not. So they're able to get into a cell and deliver a payload of completely synthetic nucleotides, nucleic acids. They have been modified to resist the normal enzymatic breakdown mechanisms. So right. The body normally has enzymes to break down these nucleic acids, but in this case they can't. Or if they do, it's very slow and inefficient. So for as long as those nucleic acids persist, they will keep getting red and keep producing spike protein. And at some point, it's possible that that nucleic acid sequence might be incorporated into the DNA and become a permanent part of the person's genome.
I've read that that was the idea, but we don't know for sure if it'll work.
They have assured us or tried to assure us that no, it breaks down. It's, you know, it first they said it was gone within hours, and then they changed it to days, and now it's a month. Oh, maybe it's 6 weeks.
It sounds like what Monsanto used to say about Roundup. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's gone in 24 hours.
Right.
Don't worry.
No lingering effects.
I did read early on, though, somewhere, and generally speaking, though, you don't. They do try to hide behind this thing where it'll dissipate, it'll be gone in, you know, whatever, 2 months. It's just there to help your immune system learn the spike protein. Well, tell that to the 85-year-old man who was killed by spike proteins in every major organ of his body. And God knows how many other people.
Mm-hmm.
All right, this issue of brain, Alzheimer's, mad cow, dementia, neurological
ALS.
Issues, ALS, these are really frightening things. This is not maybe once in a while this might happen. This could happen more often than not to people. We don't know.
Well, and the brain, by the time symptoms show up, you know, this process of toxicity has been underway for probably quite some time. You know, it's not readily apparent. You know, dementia, a normal development of dementia is at least 10 years in the making. So even though somebody got the vaccine today and is walking around fine thinking that they're good, that means nothing.
And we don't know what the time frame is. No, we don't know what the time frame is. Now, in mice, mammals, 2 weeks, and they showed brain damage.
The monkeys, it was, what did they say, 5 weeks for monkeys?
Five, I think. 5 weeks, let's say. Those are rhesus monkeys, and they are virtual clones of, that's the closest animal they can come to a human being to do research with, a rhesus monkey. So 5 weeks, 2 weeks for mice, 5 weeks for the monkeys.
Now that was injected spike protein.
Correct. No, they didn't give them a vaccine to have their own cells begin to produce the spike protein. They put the spike protein in there. That's my understanding of it. All right, let's go back and listen to the rest. Okay, this is the second half.
Do animal research before we do people research. In humanized mice, so that was mice that we gave ACE2 receptors to so we could work with them on this, after 2 weeks, 95% of the animals were dead. When we looked at those animals...
Excuse me. After 2 weeks, 95% of the mice were not just showing brain issues, they were dead. That's even worse. All right.
We saw this under the microscope. This kind of looks like a sponge, right? This is what it's supposed to look like, all this. But this is what happens. And this looks like a sponge, and it's in the brain. So in medicine and science, we call that spongiform encephalopathy. Okay? And the general public calls this mad cow disease. We also know in rhesus macaque monkeys, because those are the closest thing to us to use as a model to see what will happen to us, that in 5 to 6 weeks, when the animals were sacrificed, this part of their brain was infected with a spike protein. And when we looked at their brains, we saw inflammatory cells and we saw Lewy bodies. That's Alzheimer's disease and other neurologic diseases. These animals didn't have this before they were exposed. This is the result of the spike protein crossing the blood-brain barrier, which is exquisitely good at, and getting to its target. There's a doctor, a PhD by the name of Kevin W. McCarron in Japan, who's done more research. He is probably the world's expert on animal models, on primate models, and these diseases. And for a year, Dr. McCarron has been warning the world that this is going to have, that this spike protein crosses the blood-brain barrier and will have damaging neurologic effects like it did on the monkeys. He's done animal models showing what happens when you damage this part of the brain, and his animal models match exactly this type of damage with neurologic disease. There are scientists around the world trying to address this problem and bring home the information that you need.
So again, we're on the outside trying to piece this together on the basis of anecdotal evidence. We're not presenting any of this as hard science. But what I can suggest, speaking for myself, is that whoever designed this did so over a long period of time and has created a vaccine from hell. This is a bioweapon. This is not a curative potion. It's deadly. And these people who get the injection and end up with a raging headache an hour later, a half an hour later, how would you describe that possibly as happening, Erica? What do you think?
I think this stuff is getting into their brain in short order. And it doesn't seem to matter if it's the lipid nanoparticles, the Moderna Pfizer, or the AstraZeneca J&J adenovirus vector, that it's going to the brain. There are people with crushing headaches for weeks following these vaccines. I mean, that's an indication of a brain that's inflamed at the very least. And, you know, inflammation is the body's response to try to still an area, to try to keep it quiet. In other words, it's trying to sequester toxins.
Understand.
Pathogens.
Yeah. This video I just played is up at the top of the homepage, and I urge all of you to share it. It'll be down from the top, but it will be in the archive on the right-hand side, the coronavirus archive. Actually, I should probably rename that, because this is all about the spike protein. Do you know anything about SARS 1.0? I used to call this SARS 2.0. What was the mechanism of that alleged virus? Did it have a spike protein-like projection on it? Do you remember?
Yes. All the coronaviruses have that form.
Uh-huh.
Because it looks, the spikes look like a corona. You know, if you think of the sun having a corona, that's why they call it a corona, coronavirus. But the spike protein can be modified, and which is what they did, playing in the lab, trying to make it more infectious, more difficult to resist, and obviously they've succeeded. They've given it attributes that a normal coronavirus wouldn't have.
So they My question would be then next, did they work on the spike protein itself in addition to tweaking the coronavirus? And the answer is obviously yes. And that would bring up the obvious conclusion that whoever did this was beyond insane.
Well, they were looking at it as a potential weapon. I mean, that was the whole justification for the program is, well, we've got to be able to figure out what somebody might use against us and come up with a remedy for it.
What a bunch of crap. That whole, we got to do it before they do it. That old line. No. All right, hold on a second.
That's why coronaviruses are so attractive as bioweapons, is because they've never been able to come up with a vaccine for coronavirus.
Right.
Ever.
I still think SARS-1 was a beta test to a very large degree. I think they were learning from it. That's just me again. Hold on a second, and we will be right back. Okay. The bottom line on this is a big one, and it is that the clear implication from what we know so far. Remember, I want to repeat again, we're on the outside trying to piece this together, but we're doing a pretty good job. A lot of people are just really into this, very bright people, and we've got one of the very, very best here. We're identifying now clear neurological problems, mental problems, linked with the vax. This is a big scare thing. I feel, again, so sorry for people who have gotten vaccinated, who had reservations and didn't want to, and now they're stuck with this. And they're wondering, my God, am I going to start walking into walls here in the next 6 months? Well, we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. We do know that there are clear indications of massive brain and major organ damage and death from the spike protein. This is the bioweapon, the primary one. There may be other things involved, and there do apparently seem to be just that. You remember SARS-1, MERS came along, and I never trusted those. I was very suspicious of them back in the day, and that wasn't 20 years ago almost now. And what are your thoughts about that? Do you think that those were beta tests and they were?
Yes. They've been playing with these coronaviruses for at least 20 years. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're bat coronaviruses.
Right.
And I don't know what the obsession was with them, other than they make a wonderful bioweapon. I mean, they're airborne. They're resistant to typical vaccine, or the development or addressing them with a vaccine because of this antibody enhancement.
Right. It's kind of a real dirty trick is what it is.
Yeah, the antibodies are actually detrimental. You don't want to have antibodies to a coronavirus. It's predictive of a dire outcome for future exposures. The presence of the antibody actually facilitates the entry of the virus further and wider into the body and then creates a disseminated disease that results in a cytokine storm and the person dies.
And just for all of you out there, the antibody is supposed to be what destroys the invader, okay? And you get too many.
Most vaccines, or most viruses rather, that is the way it works. But it doesn't work in every virus. HIV is another example of that. Mm-hmm. If antibodies worked for HIV, we'd be all set.
Another man-made virus, by the way, HIV.
Yep.
No question about it. So we're looking now, a lot of people, and we're going to shift over here next to the unvaxxed, but a lot of vaccinated people are, when they hear about this, they're going to be looking for neurocognitive distress, impairments, damage, whatever. They're going to be worried all the time. Am I going to get Alzheimer's? Will I get mad cow? Will I get ALS? What's going to happen to me? And those are valid worries. They're not sci-fi. These are valid worries for these people. And when they do become inundated with the proteins, how are people going to get away from this? How can they possibly, once they're infested with spike, how can they get away? They can't. They're stuck. Unless the vax makers were accurate and correct that the body would quit making the spike protein after a certain period of time. That's the only hope I see.
Well, I don't know. Are they using this situation to usher in CRISPR, this gene editing technology? You've got a damaged gene. We've got a solution
here.
It would
be the hero, couldn't it? Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Turn us the rest of the way into cyborgs.
Well, they can't resist. I mean, the governments have given these companies a license to kill, and they're going to take advantage of it.
They are right now killing people as we speak.
Yes, and it's being covered up.
Yeah. All right, let's move over to the people who, for one reason or another, did not take the shot. Some of them have to work in offices or restaurants or other work environments where many or most of the people have been vaccinated. They are being exposed every time they're around those people. And I see more and more warnings. Stay away from people who have been vaccinated. I'm seeing this a lot now in the internet. You must be seeing a ton of it on the social media platforms.
Yes.
What they've done is split the nation in half. Think about it. 170 million, one shot, 150 million, both shots, and say another 150 million, no shots. So you're dividing. First you split it politically, now you're splitting it medically, and it's being driven by fear, but not irrational fear. Fear of reality. People are dying. Go ahead.
I don't believe the majority of people that have not been vaxxed are aware that the vaxxed are potentially a serious threat to them.
Oh, no, they don't know. No,
most people
right.
don't know that at this point.
No, because what do? Where do they get their news? You can answer that. They're not going to be told. They won't know unless somebody listens to this and tells them. And if you try to tell them that, they'll tell you to go to hell. Go away with your crap. I don't want to hear it.
Right. And it sounds paranoid and far-fetched, but if you're paying attention and you're connecting the dots, it's undeniable.
So, and I'm going to prove right now that the powers that be, the movers and shakers, the captains of industry, know exactly what's coming. I'm going to prove that. All right? And many of you have already seen this, but I'm going to play it's on the homepage, and it's very important. Let's see here. Oh, he took it down. Hold on, I have to go here and get it. Okay. Now, all these videos are on the right-hand side. It's a very thorough, comprehensive archive of critical material. Everything from the masks, having little nanofibers, the little machines, same thing as in the Schwabs, they go in your nose, so you're being set up. So again, the people that run the game, the money makers, the industry giants, these are globalists, global elite. They know what's coming. And the video I'm going to play is about an HR, that's human resources, executive. This is not just somebody who works in a business, a small business or a medium business and does HR. This woman is a major executive in the field of human resources. And she's making it very clear that the major gas and oil industry firms, all of them, are planning to have their vaccinated staff members replaced within the next 3 years. Now, is that replaced by means of they're going to give them their pink slip? you're fired, get out of here? Or is it something else? Are they going to be sick? Are they going to be debilitated? Are they going to be unable to work? It sounds to me like it's kind of a combination. If this thing would queue up, I'd be able to play it for you. So if the gas and oil industry is getting ready for this, what does that tell all of you about the controllers of this planet? They've been told. This woman has been instructed. I'm going to have to reload this page. It's not doing what it's supposed to. There, it finally did. Okay, here we go. So this is, a very high-level professional in the gas and oil industry.
I lost my baby during pregnancy, which is the reason that I actually left the healthcare field, because I was working with pregnant women, primarily, reproduction and endocrinology. And I just found it was a little bit too difficult for me to provide quality of care, given my recent loss. So I went back into full-time working in the gas and oil and recruitment sector. And to this day, I am running a global gas and oil recruitment firm. And the reason that this is important is because of what I am seeing as an executive in this industry happening right now as a result of the COVID vaccines. And it's something called succession planning. And if you don't know what that is, look it up. But basically what it is companies need to plan for what's going to happen as their staff move on. Rather, they move up the line, they retire, so on and so forth. And succession planning is something that I help companies with professionally by offering them recruitment services. So they'll come to me and say, hey, we're going to need 100 guys to, you know, staff this rig, so on and so forth. And so we'll provide them that service. Well, what's really interesting, what's happening right now, and it's actually mortifying, not just interesting, is that executives are having their HR staff and their managers, superintendents, foremen, so on and so forth, go through and look at the staff that have received the vaccines. And they're planning to have to replace them all within the next 3 years. What does that say to you? This is something that's, you know, it's got some of these guys literally in tears as they're going through the company and literally checking off all of these individuals that have taken the vaccine, knowing that most likely in the next 3 years, they're going to have to plan to replace that person. What does that say to you? And this is a really big thing in the industry that I'm in. And a lot of talk going on around this at the moment, because these massive companies, massive gas and oil companies, are looking to have to replace thousands of personnel. And I'm in that line of work that does the staffing for these large gas and oil companies. And they're pretty petrified as for what's going to happen to their staff, but also their businesses, because they project that they're going to lose, roughly half of their personnel.
Okay, well, there you go. Now, I think that is an inarguable statement that they know what's going on. They being the elite. They've been told, get ready, because you're going to have to replace roughly half of your personnel. This is a big, big story. And this won't be, nobody will know about this, except the people who get a chance to see that video. And it is over in the archive on the right-hand side. So, there you go. All planned, remember, no coincidences, nothing left to chance. And my sources have told me everything is done by plan. Everything of consequence, everything of significance, done by plan. So she said 3 years. It's 3.5 years from now when 2025 shows up and the Deagle forecasts will either come home to roost or they won't. But if they're going to get rid of these people in 3 years, again, to parrot what she said, what does that tell you? They're expecting exactly what the Deagle forecasts predicted. Now, Erica, you had something about, and I don't know that I've seen this story, but It was something about 6% of the world population. That's a very interesting thing. Can you share that with us? If not, don't worry about it.
It was basically, so this individual loves numbers, loves to analyze numbers.
If it's been published, you're probably fine to mention it.
Yes.
If it's been released online, okay.
It's been removed since yesterday, but I'm recalling it from memory, and it seems to be accurate. But there was some sort of a poll taken as to whether or not someone is willing to take the vaccine. And right now, you're seeing it. There's every state in the country now is offering some sort of inducement to get more people to take the vaccine.
Some state, I don't know which one it is offering $100 if you get the shot. Now, what kind of message does that send to people? Is that the message of desperation? Of course it is. We'd be $100. This is crazy. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I just didn't want that to go away from my
It's anything from, burgers and fries to ice cream to lottery. In Massachusetts, you actually have a shot at college tuition.
Well, and they're also giving away guns and ammo, and they're just, it's so obscenely obvious that they're trying too hard. And warning bells should be going off in everybody's consciousness about this. All right, go ahead. Tell us about that.
So this poll, and I'm not sure where it came, but it was several countries. So the population in several countries was polled, and it turned out that I think the number was 6.1% of all these people that were polled said that under no circumstances would they ever take the vaccine, no matter what. And so when this guy extrapolated the numbers from those that would and those that wouldn't, the final number he came up with was that, for those that could be coerced into taking it or have already willingly taken it versus those that will never and can presume to be safe from its consequences, the number came out to be that there would be 500,000 or a little less than 500,000, 500 million people left by 2025 on the planet. So the number worked out almost to a T.
And that's the Georgia Guidestones.
Yep.
1980. 500 million left. And you just heard an explanation of where that 500 million figure might just fit in.
It was uncanny.
Okay. I got an email from someone today. Let's see if I can pull this back up and we can re-answer it. Okay. Yeah, this is from Dan. All right, Danny, I'm going to put your question out here and see if we can help you with this. We've talked about this before on the program. He says, Jeff, I don't recall how being exposed to a vaxxed person and their emitted spike proteins, how these spike proteins replicate in my body and multiply without the mRNA or the adenovirus. I'm a little confused. So the question is, one, can spike proteins just be somehow inhaled and get gone into your body and start replicating? And the answer to that is no. But two, how could it happen? And that'll be the answer. How could a vaxxed person give an unvaxxed person a spike protein that would replicate? And let me just leave it at that. I've just answered it, but go ahead.
What we have to worry about, aside from the spike protein, is biologically active, and if you inhale it and it goes into your bloodstream throughout your body, your immune system will react to it. And I'll use the analogy of that poison ivy. It's some kind of a haptin that engages the immune system. It's an irritant, and until the body can rid itself of it, you're going to have symptoms, inflammation, and whatever toxic effects the protein itself has, causing clots or getting into the brain or clogging the liver and kidneys. So the next threat that we have to look at is the potential for viral recombination. With these vaccines, they're known as leaky vaccines. Leaky means that they will induce an immune response, but they won't protect against infection. So now you've got this genetic material being introduced into the body. The immune system is somewhat suppressed as it's dealing with this foreign genetic material. And as long as that foreign genetic material is in the body and the body's trying to deal with it, it's open season for any other viruses that you have within you at that time. So these other viruses that you may be carrying, and we're all carrying some, can acquire this genetic material through a process called recombination or reassortment and become new viruses with new attributes. Most of the time,
when you say genetic material, excuse me, you're talking about spike protein genetic material?
No.
They can. Okay,
no,
I just want to be sure what we're talking about. All right, the mRNA.
We're talking about nucleic acids, mRNA, in the case of Pfizer Moderna, and the adenovirus, which is not supposed to replicate. They say they've taken the genes out. However, it can replicate if there's another adenovirus in your body at the time you're injected. It can use the machinery to replicate from that existing adenovirus.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And people having latent adenoviruses is very common. So I think we are seeing replication-competent adenoviruses that produce spike proteins. So this issue of viral recombination, this is something they have known about for 8, 9, 10 years maybe, ever since they came up with these GMO recombinant vaccines, vector vaccines. They've known that this is a potential threat, that when you inject people with these recombinant viruses, they do shed, and that needs to be taken into consideration, particularly for a mass vaccination campaign. And this is probably why they've never been used like this before. Mm-hmm. So it's conceivable that people are walking, talking, living, breathing, gain-of-function laboratories now.
Okay, just to recap, you're around someone who's been vaccinated. You're not vaccinated. You inhale. Let's just keep it simple. You inhale spike protein. Are you also going to inhale mRNA?
No. Unless it's being released in the form of some kind of exosome.
Okay.
And we don't know. That's kind of a new area that there's a lot of unknowns with that.
Right. So if I inhale spike proteins and I start feeling a little crappy, my body immunologically should be after that spike protein invasion and take it out, because proteins in and of themselves do not replicate.
Correct.
At the end of the line.
Right.
So within a couple of weeks or a week or a few days, you ought to be able to rid yourself of any inhaled spike proteins, no matter where they go in your body. Your immune system has no boundaries. Okay, so you should be okay. The trick is to remember this is dose dependent, and you need to stay away from where the dose is coming from. I hate saying that, but you have to protect yourself. And I'm talking wear your mask and social distance. Now, how's that for a turnaround?
Yeah, just the common sense things. You know, just assume that these people are infectious, contagious with something you don't want.
God, what a mess. What a horror. Thank you, Erica, for everything. You're just great.
Oh, my pleasure, Jeff.
All right, take care.
Okay. All right, good night.
Talk soon. And thanks to all of you for being here. That brings you up to speed, I think, as much as you're going to be able to get at this point. And again, we're piecing this together as we go. Thanks for being here. Back tomorrow night.